Hey everybody, Derek here from Gamer Heroes to talk about the exciting episode that we have coming up here. This one's going to be a little bit different from anything else that you've heard. If you listened last week, you got a special episode from Screen Heroes on your feed where John and I joined Ryan and Ray to cast our own Overwatch live action film. This week is something totally different. I am teaming up with Jeremy from the Saturday Morning Tooncast, our Saturday cartoon show, where we are going to be talking about Nintendo and Mario. Specifically, we'll start off with some video game news, talking Nintendo Labo, which is the cardboard enhancements for the Nintendo Switch. Then we go and check out the Super Mario Bros. Super Show, which is an old 1989 Super Mario Bros. Live action and cartoon show. That's right, they did both in one show. That really is a fascinating watch. And we also check out the Super Mario cereal. That's right, Jeremy was able to get his hands on a box. So we talk about that and the attached amiibo. So we hope you enjoy the show. Next week, John will be back by my side to continue Gamer Heroes in a whole new format. We've got some cool stuff to announce. So we hope that you join us next week as well. And on to the show.
In 1987, a game was released in Japan for Nintendo's Famicom called Yume Kojo Doki Doki Panic. In the game, a toad named Mamu torments the dreams of an Arabian family with a magical book whose ending is torn out. When it was time for America to get a sequel to the hit 1985 Nintendo Entertainment System game Super Mario Bros., the side-scrolling platformer Doki Doki Panic was adapted into Super Mario Bros. 2. Balanced Imogene became Mario, strong-jumping Mama became Luigi, floating pink Catalina became Princess Toadstool, and the turban-wearing Papa became Mushroom-Headed Toad. This not only introduced Toad and Princess to the Mario canon, but adversaries like Bob-Ombs, Shy Guys, and Birdo were carried over from the source material as well. The games were such a hit that children's entertainment company Deke spent a year trying to license the characters until they relented, giving way to Super Mario Bros. Super Show, a bizarre, disjointed, part live-action, part animated comedy starring professional wrestler The Captain Lou Albano as Mario. The show aired every weekday for 13 weeks in 1989, giving The Legend of Zelda the animation slot for their Friday shows. Almost three decades later, Mario and Zelda are still hits with best-selling titles on the Switch gaming platform. To coincide with the 2017 mega-hit Mario Odyssey, Nintendo teamed up with Kellogg Cereal to release a limited edition Mario cereal whose box could be used as an amiibo.
Hey, paisanos!
This week on a very special episode of the Saturday Morning Tooncast, we're watching the Super Mario Bros. Super Show.
All over a bowl of Super Mario cereal.
All right. I mean, you want to explain what's going on here?
Yeah, so I am Derek, co-host of Gamer Heroes, our video game podcast.
And I am Jeremy, the co-host of the Saturday Morning Tooncast, our cartoon podcast.
And so we decided to join forces this week and do a little crossover episode.
Yeah, team up. Super team up.
In a very super way. We're kind of like the Mario Brothers this week.
Sure. The greatest team up ever known.
So who's Mario Mario and who's Luigi Mario?
I feel like you have more facial hair, which would probably put you in the Mario category.
You are taller than me.
That's true. So I guess that would put me in the Luigi category.
So perfect.
And I'm a little brother, if that differs from you. I don't know what you're...
I'm both. Oh. I have a little brother, and I also have...
Middle sibling. That explains some things.
Well, there's two of us that are in the middle. There's four of us total.
Oh, okay. So you're upper middle
class? I'm lower
middle. Lower middle class.
Yeah, I'm lower middle class.
Fair enough. Yeah, so Super Mario Bros. Super Show, what is your familiarity with it?
I've seen a few handful of episodes back during the show's like original run and some reruns in the 90s and stuff like that. It's been a long time.
It was so, it's such a weird one. And looking into the show's history to see that it was aired every single day and it's an animated show. Mm-hmm. That's such a weird, like, that hasn't happened since, I don't think. Cause it's not like they did that with Power Rangers or anything. It's not like it was on every single day.
No, for me, an everyday show is like a soap opera. I remember my mom's soap opera, right. Young and the Restless, was on every day.
Or like interview shows, like Regis and Kathy Lee or something. It's like,
right.
For them to put out this bizarre, it's so strange. I watched a little bit of it just to get kind of a taste of it. And it's like, it's a somewhat retired professional wrestler playing Mario, and this much older guy playing Luigi, who's like the oldest man I've ever seen in children's television, doing these bizarre, disjointed, weird basement show of them dressed as Mario and Luigi talking to like kind of D-list celebrities like Vanna White. And I mean, like they had Elvira on a couple episodes.
That's
they had
cool.
Danica McKellar on an episode. Unfortunately, all the good celebrities were on the Friday episodes, which were the Legend of Zelda episodes. Mm-hmm. Those aren't on Netflix for some reason. Only the Mario ones are.
Huh.
Well, I know they're complicated layers.
They're talking about a new Zelda show, so maybe they're trying to hide any evidence.
Maybe, yeah. The Zelda license isn't tied to the Mario license anymore.
That's so
weird. The episodes that we're going to watch do have little Zelda segments at the very end. But
okay.
They like didn't make sense. Like I tried to preview them a little bit, and they're like clips, I guess, from the Friday show or something.
All right,
it doesn't make sense.
Fair enough. Well, that's cool. Yeah, so they are on Netflix, which is really convenient. I was like scouring the internet, assuming they weren't on Netflix, about how I would find these DVDs somewhere out there, and then you're like, no, they're on Netflix, man.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, we were trying to do this one earlier, but we couldn't get our hands on the very limited edition Super Mario Brothers cereal that everybody freaked out and bought every box of at Target when it first came out, but then it's like, oh, nope, it's back, and everybody's fine.
So yeah.
Every other Nintendo thing, there's consumer panic and, like, hoarding, and then just relaxed basic capitalism.
Well, except for the NES Classic. That one, it was such a short run that you still have to spend a lot of money if you want one in the second market. But I did notice on eBay, these cereal boxes are going for, like, $35 a pop because of that stupid amiibo.
Well, they're... A, the amiibo sucks. It doesn't really do anything. And B, those are the prices that they set, but nobody was actually buying them for those prices.
Okay.
It's basically like eBay price inflation that's effectively meaningless.
Because it is cereal at the end of the day. And
yeah.
The amiibo is supposed to work with Super Mario Odyssey, which if you haven't used amiibo with that game yet, it's a very limited functionality. It's designed to help you get the moons that are on the particular map.
Right.
If you're having trouble, because there's so many on each map.
Some specific ones will give you costume items.
Yeah.
This is not one of those. Basically, the little amiibo machine says, hey, you've scanned a delicious amiibo. Come back in 5 minutes and we'll tell you where a moon is.
Right.
It's just like, all right.
Cool. Says so they do add in that it's a food-based amiibo. Okay.
It specifically says delicious amiibo. That's
right.
The long and short of it.
Okay. Well, don't eat your amiibo. Just eat the cereal.
Yeah. It's just a specific... It's like a chip that's just taped to the inside of the box. And it says, scan here. And you hold it up. It took forever. It was hard to find.
Wow. Okay.
But it worked.
Interesting.
It did read it.
Well, that's good.
Well, before we dive in and watch an episode, do we want to talk Gamer Hero stuff? Since this is technically also a Gamer Hero show.
Yeah. So this is a little weird for us. So those who listen to Gamer Heroes, we usually start things off with a short news segment. We'll talk about three or four different news pieces before we move into our main topic. So, I figured we would pick one just because this is a different kind of episode, and we'll make it Nintendo themed. So for those who aren't aware, Nintendo announced something called Nintendo Labo.
Labo.
Which is basically do-it-yourself cardboard creations that are almost like an augmented reality for the Switch.
Yeah, it's like, but like physical augmented reality. It's like
mixed reality?
Mixed medium reality. And Labo, it should be called Cardbo.
Cardbo?
Yeah.
I don't know what, maybe Labo is a translational thing.
It's like laboratory, I think is what they're saying, because it's basically... a way for them to put out something that is convertible and you can experiment with it and change stuff around, put stickers on it, color it, like adjust how it works. But yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I think the high-end one is like a $90 price point, and then the regular one is a $70 price point. And the big difference is the $90 one comes with the robot suit.
Yes.
Which I think it only fits children, so I probably won't be investing in that one.
I don't know. So I want to find out about the robot one, because that one's the most interesting to me.
Yeah.
Because it's a adaptation of something that Miyamoto actually showcased at E3 way back in like 2012, 2013 on the Wii U called Project Giant Robot.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
This basically looks like a slightly nicer version of
that,
but with cardboard.
Was that E3 that year?
Well, that would have been cool. I was not, so...
No, I think the last time I went to E3 was 2010, where they first unveiled the Wii U.
Okay, yeah, no, this was after it was already out.
Okay.
So, or the year it was coming out.
The line to try the Wii U, and it didn't have anything on it. It was...
There weren't any games at launch as a Wii U owner, I can tell you.
Yeah, as every Wii U owner can attest to. That's one that I skipped in the Nintendo generations.
I will tell you that it ended up being a really good console for me, personally. I actually have more Wii U titles than Xbox One titles.
Mm.
So
I do not.
Yeah. It has some cool stuff that it can do, and it has a Wii built into it, so you could transfer your Wii to it. So
so the Wii had so many great titles.
Hey, you can go look at my whole library of Wii games, and it had a little virtual console.
Yeah, yeah. You know? I mean, the virtual console was the one thing that made me kind of consider it, but not enough. Like, I had the Wii. I felt like I got burned on the Wii. I got hands-on with the Wii U early at E3 and just was not impressed by it. Mm-hmm. And I was so satisfied because that was kind of the heyday for the 3DS that I was like, if I have any Nintendo IP itches that need to get scratched, I can do it with my 3DS for the time being.
That's fair. I mean, the 3DS was going really strong. I mean, it still is going strong, though. As a Switch owner, I'm finding it hard to cope with reasons to use my DS.
And the only thing that would get me back to a DS is a new generation of Pokemon. So yeah, the Labo. So what are all the things we saw in the video? There's the piano.
That's really cool, because it actually doesn't work the way I thought it did from the trailer.
Mm.
From the trailer, I thought it was picking up the vibrations because of the HD rumble.
No, it's...
But it's the IR. It's actually the light, which is really cool. It picks up the IR stuff.
Yeah, because you slip in the Joy-Cons into the various cardboard things, and they pretty much make a beam that you break with the keys.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which is super cool, because you can actually sit down and play songs with a cardboard piano. I assume that's got to take hours to put together.
Oh, God. I mean, that one, like the backpack one, they showed the inside of it, and it's a bunch of interconnected strings and cords and stuff.
Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting to see how that rolls out, because there are going to be a lot of moms who buy that as like a cool... The kid will be fun for the kid to play with this. And it's like, kids won't be able to figure it out. They'll break it. They won't be able to buy a replacement for the, like, very fragile cardboard that they destroy.
I have good news for that, though.
Oh, they have.
So Nintendo is putting out all of the actual blueprints are going to be completely free online.
Okay.
So you can print them out.
So you just make replacement parts?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I do a lot of online orders, so I get a lot of Amazon boxes. I could print them out on paper and sketch them onto Amazon boxes and cut out that cardboard if I wanted to.
Probably be like selling custom 3D printed PVC versions of all that stuff just so that they're more durable.
Yeah, you're probably right.
I wonder if like Nyko would be legally allowed to just replicate any of that stuff.
I mean, I think they would have to get the licensing for it.
Yeah.
Right? So
I would, because I would assume Nintendo has got the like design patent, utility patent, and all that stuff if they're putting it out to work with Lotto.
I mean, I would think so. I think
Labo. Yeah.
The thing is, at the end of the day, you still have to buy the software that it works with.
Right.
Right. So even if Nyko anybody else were to rip that off, so to speak, you still have to buy the game from Nintendo.
Well, yeah.
So
I mean, Nintendo's get the money coming in from the game regardless. So and they're probably their cost or their ROI on the peripherals.
Peripherals.
The cardboard shit is probably next to nothing. They probably don't even care. But they just, if somebody starts making like a $20 one that everybody buys, they'll probably be like, hey.
They might not be thrilled about it. That's true. But they might also at the same time be like, well, all right, I guess we can just put out the game and not have to worry about this.
But that is going to be an interesting one to see how it plays out with the current climate of streamer culture.
Yes.
Because like you can't stream that because nobody can see what you're doing unless you do like probably like picture in picture video in the corner and then all that. And that'll be interesting because it seemed like some of the stuff didn't even really have game mechanics attached to it. Like the piano, you're just playing piano.
Oh, and there's like the thing that kind of looks like a bug and the Joy-Cons rumble and it walks around.
Because then all you would be seeing from a screen share is a controller.
Basically.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I will be curious to see just how it's used and what its impact will be. I think it definitely seems to be focused more towards kids.
Yeah.
So it may not be for us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and this is kind of a big paradigm shift for how Nintendo has done stuff in the past where with the Wii U, they were constantly shoving the tablet in your face.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, this is our gimmick with this one. Use this. If you don't use this, you know, it's not going to be a complete experience. Same with the motion controllers on the Wii. It's like, this is what we're doing. And like, everybody has to buy in. And this is what we're doing. This with the Switch, it's like, we made a handheld console. If you want to, you don't have to. You can pop those suckers off, screw around, switch it up. and it's like everything is optional instead of mandatory. And this is the like, and this is completely different, but this is like, look, we can back into a gimmick without making the gimmick the primary thing that we're selling. Mm-hmm. So it's like they're making a console into a toy, which is going back to what the roots of what Nintendo really is, that they were originally like a toy company that made card games and stuff like that before video games.
Yeah, no, you're totally right. It is interesting. And I've always been one who kind of shied away from the Wii and the Wii U innovations. So I had the classic controller hookup for the Wii, and I have my Pro controller for the Wii U. And I have a Pro controller for the Switch. I prefer to lay on my couch or in my gaming chair and just play the games.
I mean, I do too, but I just hold the Switch in front of my face.
So Switch. This is really weird for me. So I have carpal tunnel in my right hand wrist primarily. And on my DS, when I play my 3DS XL, no problems. Never bothers me. I can play it for hours. The Switch really bothers me in handheld mode.
I guess because you're supporting the weight of it with primarily your wrist?
I guess. I don't know if it's the weight or if it's like it's too thin because it's a lot thinner than the DS is. I don't know what it is. I'm not an expert on that type of ergonomics at all, but I have a lot of issues playing the Switch in handheld mode. I still do it because I do travel for work and stuff, but if I'm home, it's on the TV.
Yeah, and I especially with Mario Odyssey, I like it on the TV just because that game is friggin' beautiful.
Mm-hmm. No, it really is. In fact, I've almost... So, the dock, Nintendo has the official dock. It's normally $90.
Oh, yeah, I saw you tweeting about that.
It's $75 right now on Amazon. I'm really tempted to pick up one so I can play it in another room. So
yeah, if I had any money right now, I would definitely consider it.
Well, no one responded to my tweet, all right? Yeah. Nobody's saying anything.
You're so unpopular. I know, it's hard.
I have all these followers, but they just want to talk about Star Trek. So
that's true. I mean, that's probably what happens when your username is the Star Trek dude.
I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah.
That's your username.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. How does Gamer Hero, or do you talk about anything else? Or any other hot topics?
I mean, I didn't really prep a whole lot of news for this one because we were going to do a different format. So I think that's all I have.
Okay. Do I have anything? Video game stuff? No, not really. I've seen this weird buzz about people talking about a reboot of Muppet Babies for cartoon news, but I haven't done any research into it.
Oh, okay. So I did hear they announced a new Muppet.
Is that what it is? There's a new... Well, I mean, I guess there would have to be a new Muppet Babies if they're announcing a new Muppet or a new Muppet show.
Well, that was the thing. So they I saw a headline that said they announced a new Muppet, and the picture that was used was like live-action Muppet Babies. Which I don't...
Oh, maybe they're doing a live-action Muppet Babies, not cartoon news then.
So, yeah, I'm not sure.
Yeah, I only saw it because I follow Cameron Esposito, stand-up comedian, and she said our original lesbian icon, and it was a picture of Skeeter from Muppet Babies. I was like, Skeeter?
All right.
Sure, fine.
Sure. Yeah, I love Muppet Babies. That was one of my favorite cartoons as a kid.
Well, yeah, and it's impossible to stream anywhere because they do so much licensed stuff in that show. I did like an illegal download somewhere at some point of an early episode, and they just had so many peppered in clips of original Star Wars.
Oh, really?
And it's like, oh, yeah, that... Like, Kermit would play pretend and be like, dressed like Han Solo and be like, hey, Chewie, let's do something. And then it would cut to a full screen clip of just like Chewie with a bowcaster. And it's like, oh, they just went there. That's crazy.
That is weird.
Yeah.
All right. Fair enough.
But yeah, that's an interesting one. I'm going to have to see if I can get a couple solid eps streamable somewhere.
You'd think that wouldn't be a licensing problem now, though, because Disney owns all of it.
Do they own Muppet stuff?
They do.
Oh, I didn't know they ever actually acquired the Henson Company. I know they, like,
I don't know if they own the whole Henson company, but they do have Muppet rights.
Okay.
So they're apparently doing, they're the ones who announced the new Muppet.
Oh.
Was Disney. So yeah, I would think they could then, it's all their stuff.
That's
right?
True.
So.
I mean, certainly the Star Wars is, they had a lot of clips from old movies too, like Golden Hollywood stuff would get thrown in there. And I mean, Indiana Jones, but is that Disney on that?
No. Well, it was Lucas.
But that's Spielberg.
Well, it was both of them.
Right.
So I don't know who owns the rights.
I don't know. Interesting.
This is so confusing. Yeah. It was an MGM film, actually.
Yeah. So,
I guess Disney wouldn't own MGM.
Unless they want to, and then they would. Yeah. They just have to wave that cash wand.
Movie rights are confusing.
Yeah, let's not go into that, because in the last few episodes, Danielle has been going on, like, very dark rants about how Disney's acquiring everything, and we're in this, like, corporate dystopia of, like, there are three companies that own everything. There is soon going to be just a company called media, and a company called food, and a company called clothes.
No, because you get the Demolition Man future, where every restaurant is a Taco Bell. I don't know if
it works out for me, because I have that that coupon that gets me free Taco Bell. It's only that one location, though, but...
Oh, that's a shame. Yeah.
No, it's not. It's awesome.
I haven't actually been... that's not true. I went through the drive-thru to get some Taco Bell.
You gotta go in there. Yeah. They have an Oculus Rift
So weird.
They don't actually use it, though, because none of the staff know how it works.
They've done weird stuff, though. There's, like, the KFC had a comic book for a little while, yeah. And I think he ran into the Green Lantern at one point. I don't know what they're doing, so...
That would be interesting.
Yeah.
It's like one chicken gets the ring on its foot, and then it's like, oh god, run, Colonel, run. All right. Well, let's get to a watching. So the first episode we were going to take a look at for the Saturday morning Super Show. Wait, Super Mario, Saturday morning Tooncast, Super Show, Mario Show. It's called Crocodile Mario.
Oh.
Something about going to the Outback Mushroom Kingdom or something, you know.
So
Australia
and the Mushroom Kingdom. Okay.
Yeah, I picked this one because it has Gary Owen in it, who is a voice actor whose career he's very tertiary. Like, he's not been like the big guy in anything, but he was like the commissioner in SWAT Cats, and he's the announcer in Space Ghost Coast to Coast. But my favorite role for him is Powdered Toast Man. So I'm hoping from Ren and Stimpy.
Oh, right. Sorry. It's been ages since I've seen Ren and Stimpy.
Ren and Stimpy's great. But yeah, Crocodile Mario. Ready to watch?
Let's do it.
All right. We'll be. Oh, wait. I guess we already kind of talked about the cereal. Mario. Yeah, Mario cereal.
The new Mario cereal.
It's Mario cereal.
We're not going to taste the amiibo. We're just going to eat the cereal.
Okay. Coward. Hashtag taste the amiibo. All right, we'll be right back.
It's the Super Mario Brothers Super Show.
We're the Mario Brothers, and plumbing's our game. We're not like the others who get all the fame. If your sink is in trouble, you can call us on the double. We're faster than the others, you'll be hooked on the brothers.
And we are back. Wow. Wowsy. Wow. Wow. That was interesting.
To say the least.
Yeah. So apparently Netflix has their numbering wrong, and the episode that was labeled Crocodile, whatever we had said before the break, was actually an episode called Glasnuts/Plumbers Academy. The live action bit was called Glasnuts. Beautiful name. And then Plumbers Academy was the animated bit. Wow.
What a weird show where, yeah, they have live action kind of bookending
an
actual cartoon that also in itself had a flashback. So
yeah. I mean, they were related in that the president and Mikhail Gorbachev, like, and it wasn't even, they didn't even say President George Bush Sr., which would have been the 80s at this point in time. Because, yeah, it was Reagan and Bush, then Clinton was 92?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This was 89, so...
Yeah. So, yeah, that would have been Gorbachev and Bush at, like, the height of the Cold War, but they were best buds.
It was super... The Mario Brothers had to make a pizza for Gorbachev.
Yeah, so the live-action bit starts with they get a president from... Or they get a phone call from the president of the United States who says, Mikhail Gorbachev is a big fan of these two plumbers... who are apparently master pizza chefs for whatever goddamn reason, other than they're just Italian as hell.
Even though the animated Mario only wants to eat pasta.
Yeah. And what did he say? Lasagna cream or cheesecake? He said,
I missed that.
Yeah, at the very end, he's like, let's get that before we can say lasagna cream cheese or something.
Oh, yeah. I don't know what that was supposed to
be. Gross. But yeah, so president calls, Gorbachev wants to meet them, they think it's a joke, and then Gorbachev shows up with a KGB agent at their front door, and they just kind of laugh it off, and he makes various demands, mostly that he wants them to make him a pizza, so they start teaching him how to make a pizza, and then just abruptly we go to an animated Mario cartoon. It's just like, I love... So... And that was why I put that in the intro about the Doki Doki Panic, mm-hmm. is that these four characters are the four characters from Super Mario Bros. 2.
Right.
Because I think Super Mario Bros. 3 didn't come out till 90 or something like that. Or that. But yeah, I mean, this would have been the era where that's the most recent Mario franchise. So we see these very established characters that are basically based on the abilities of those four characters in Super Mario Bros. 2. And those abilities are based on an Arab family from a completely unrelated Japanese game. So it's just like weird, like Toad is a mushroom person because they had the power up mushrooms in the first one, but also because he's based on a character that wore a turban.
Right.
And it's like, it's so weird to recontextualize that we've seen these happy little mushroom guys for so long. And it's like, oh, that's because he had a turban.
It's the whole history of Super Mario Brothers 2 is so strange because in Japan, they got an actual Super Mario Brothers 2. We call it the Lost Levels.
Right.
But they were worried it wouldn't sell well here because it was too similar.
Yeah, because it was, I mean, it was just more levels for the first game.
There's enemies in Super Mario Brothers 2 that you never see again until basically the remake of one of the Super Mario games on Game Boy Advance.
Well, yeah, I mean, Birdo, I think, showed up in, like, one of the Mario Kart games at some point.
Birdo did? I don't think so.
Birdo was in something.
Well, I don't think it was Mario Kart. Shy Guy shows up in Mario Kart, and their debut was in Super Mario Brothers 2.
Yeah, Shy Guy, Ba-Bombs.
Mm-hmm.
It's also weird to watch this knowing that this probably planted the seeds for what became the Super Mario Brothers movie, the Bob Hoskins John Leguizamo vehicle that is one of the craziest things that has ever existed.
But more coherent than what we just watched.
Yeah, that is true.
I mean, this show has two intros, because they have a live-action intro, both
of which are energetically rapped by a late 40s retired WWF wrestler, which is so strange.
I want to be a fly on the wall in the meeting where this show was pitched.
Right.
As an idea.
Well, and in stuff that I looked at, it was like Deke and Saban and MTV and Viacom all lobbied Nintendo for like a year. Like, they were like, we want this so bad. We are going to put so much effort into getting this license, and then this is what they come up with.
Whew.
It's like, man, we have these great ideas. Shigeru Miyamoto, please let us work with you. Please let us license these characters that aren't even the real characters, that are these new characters that you've... I mean, I guess they are the real characters. Because there wasn't really a canon, like, there was no story for Mario in Mario 1. Really. It was just Jumpman goes through pipes.
Well, there was the whole your princess is in another castle.
Yeah.
So you knew you were rescuing the princess.
Yeah. But it was questioning if that was also the same princess from Donkey Kong, or if, like...
Yeah, it wasn't really fleshed out.
Yeah. Also, you didn't get the differentiation in the characters, like, that Luigi was a little more narrow and a little taller until Mario 2. So it's like all of the characters were really developed for this game, except for, like, Yoshi, which was Super Mario World.
Yeah, that was later. Yoshi was later. No, this was super strange, and you pointed out while we were actually watching it, the animation style is super inconsistent between characters.
Yeah. I mean, like, once you're in the Mushroom Kingdom, everything's... It basically, like, you have the three humanish characters, and they look like they're the same art style, and then everything else is just, like, Koopas or more generic turtle monsters, or King Koopa, or, like, a weird German rat.
So, okay.
That was surprising.
Do you remember him from anything?
I mean, I remember him from this.
But for anything else, Mario?
No.
Okay,
no.
Neither do I.
No, he was, yeah, a weird German rat. They felt the King Koopa needed a sidekick.
He was, like... He was like evil German. What was the mouse cartoon? I just lost it.
Danger Mouse.
Danger Mouse.
Yeah,
yeah. He looks like Danger Mouse.
Yeah, he's like Danger Mouse's evil German twin brother. But it's kind of like what they did with the Sonic cartoon, where Dr. Robotnik for some reason had the drill guy and then the robot chicken that neither of which were in the game at all. But they're just like, well, he needs two bumbling sidekicks.
And I guess the mouse was basically like the next in command after Koopa.
Yeah, his major domo is Lieutenant Riker, or Commander Riker. But the one thing that's so fun about this show, even when it's completely incoherent, is that they throw in all the sound effects for everything. So every time they move their arms or touch anything, it's like boing, twing, blah, like everything that's directly taken from the MIDI files they use for the NES games.
And that was even true in, during the live action sequences.
Yeah.
Which, when it first happened, the first time I'm like, oh, that's cute. And then it kept happening. Like, this is just bad.
Right. But, yeah, I mean, and this animated one's probably not a good representation of the Mario cartoon because it's completely set in Brooklyn. I mean, there's the intro sequence where they're thrown into a drain and Mario puts his golden plunger on Koopa's nose and then Koopa's basically incapacitated and just leaves him.
Yeah,
and then just leaves him in this hole that's randomly in the middle of like a Colosseum pit in what appears to be Koopa's castle, but they don't kind of make that clear.
No. It was on the ground somewhere.
Yeah. So Mario, forlorn that he's lost his golden plumber's helper, which is just a plunger, like they called it plumber's helper. He goes into then a second story where he's talking about how he got it from the president. When the president was going through Brooklyn with Mikhail Gorbachev after their first stint in basic draining, which is some kind of military level plumber training program. It's like, I feel like I'm explaining a dream I had when coming off of mushrooms.
Well, there were two characters that were with Mario and Luigi at first that basically looked like Wario and Luigi.
But yeah, that was crazy.
Waluigi, I mean.
Yeah, they had exactly Wario's colors, the yellow and blue, yeah.
And then they had, there were two of them, one was shaped like Wario, the other was shaped like Waluigi, just the wrong colors.
But I mean, Wario wasn't introduced until, what, like Mario Tennis?
Well, no, so Super Mario Land 3 is Wario Land 1.
Okay, and that's Game Boy. Yeah. So that would have been probably early 90s, mid-90s?
Early 90s.
So at least a few years after this.
It was, yeah. So I don't think he was a character yet, so maybe that was, like, based on some sketches.
I mean, I'm sure they just reversed the colors and said, this is Wario.
Okay. I mean, I don't know.
But, yeah, I mean, the drill sergeant is Sergeant Koopaman, and the voice actor is the same one that plays Koopa, so it's like, are we supposed to think that this is the same guy, or this was Koopa in disguise, or everyone has a parallel in real Brooklyn to the Mushroom Kingdom?
So is there a parallel to Mario and Luigi, then?
Wario and Waluigi, I guess? I don't know. Maybe it's like Discovery, and they change places, so there's whenever Mario and Luigi are in the Mushroom Kingdom. Mushroom Kingdom? Mycelial Network?
It's part of the Spore Network.
Oh, God! The Mushroom Kingdom is the Spore Network.
Right. So then is the mouse,
now we have
that
to call,
Samus?
We have to call Greg. We have another crossover. Triple show.
Jeremy and I do red shirts and runabouts together. Yes. But, like, even this Colonel Sergeant guy, you know,
he's Sergeant. Show him some respect.
Is it just Sergeant? Okay.
In the naval plumbing army?
Military.
Yeah.
He's, like, super mean to them and making them do ridiculous stuff, and then he uses a bag clearly marked fast-drying concrete as drain cleaner.
Also, they come across a statue in the middle of the campus of whatever college this is, and there's a statue to Salvador Drainado.
Yes.
So are we supposed to think that this is, like, some weird, like, Italian society of plumbers that, like, all of the plumbers of Brooklyn are Italian?
And they make pizza? The world.
It's, like, so... Like, there's so many, like, ethnicities and nationalities at play in all of these shows and that are just thrown about so cavalierly. Like, I was watching, or I was looking through the episode titles, and there's one where the mushrooms are Native American, and there's ones where they're Japanese. And it's like, whatever they can just throw them in and have these really broad stereotypes.
Wow.
It's just, it's wildly problematic.
It is. I mean, because... This was just super confusing because of all the Cold War aspects of it. Like, they were really hitting the Russian stuff hard.
Yeah, I mean, it's Mikhail Gorbachev. It's like just showing the guy who was our, like, primary... It's like it would be having Putin on a children's cartoon. Like, imagine if there was an episode of, like Paw Patrol, where...
Paw Patrol
or like Doc McStuffins, where
Putin shows up.
Yeah, Putin's like, hey, who wants to fix my... Stuff done well.
So weird. And, like, so at the end...
He's doing that crazy accent, too.
They had Gorbachev, like, that he's helping Mario and Luigi make the pizza, and he puts, like, super stereotypical Russian stuff on it, like,
borscht, sour cream, caviar.
Yeah, the caviar thing was weird. I guess that's because he's, like, the leader.
Is he rich?
Because he's rich, he can have caviar. He puts all this on the pizza.
Yeah. And they're not worried that they're going to be in trouble. They're worried that their reputation is going to be ruined. It's like there was no active danger. They didn't see him as a threat at all, even though the KGB bodyguard was right there.
Yeah. the most, like, he's got this, like, big long jacket and the sunglasses, and he's
yeah.
KGB agent.
But all he's holding is a briefcase, and he's not armed in any way.
A briefcase that's, that has borscht and sour cream and caviar in it.
Yeah.
Very
God,
important.
That was so weird. Everything about that was so strange. And then we get that quick cutaway when he's baking, when Mikhail Gorbachev is basing his pizza that he made with the Mario Brothers.
He's putting it in the toaster oven,
yeah.
Looking at the camera.
Yeah, like really mugging at the camera. We cut away to a clip from Friday's Legend of Zelda episode, which was weird that they would put that in because it's just a disjointed series of clips. But I did remember when it got to the end, there's like a YouTube mega mix of all of the times he says, well, excuse me, princess. Because apparently that was his catchphrase.
That was his catchphrase?
Yeah.
I mean, I think this is why Link just doesn't talk in video games. Because that's what he sounds like, apparently. That was so weird. Like, it's the classic Zelda music, the main theme, but done in the art style of, like, He-Man and Masters of the Universe.
Yeah, very 80s.
Thundercats.
Yeah.
Right? And he's, like, fighting all these weird monsters, and he has...
Oh, but they use all the sound effects, too.
They use all the...
He shoots the beam at the enemy, and he's like, quack! I love that.
Oh, that was so weird, but, like, and then, you know, Zelda's in it, and she's dressed totally different.
Yeah, she looks like, kind of like Jasmine, but a few more layers or something. It's like a tasteful vest, but then kind of a puffy shirt. The weirdest thing for me was from her waist to her thigh-high boots, she has apparently some kind of very skin-tight pants on, but they're the same color as her face.
Yeah.
So they look flesh-colored. So it looks like she just has no pants on, but has the anatomy of a Barbie doll. I was like, that's a weird twist.
That's a weird choice. Yeah. That was super disjointed, because there was no real plot to it. There was no real, like, summary thread. It was just, you know, there's these two Triforces, and whoever controls both of them controls the fate of the world.
Yeah, I mean, that's the overarching narrative of all of the Zelda ones, but right? Then this was just a preview of the upcoming Friday episode, because apparently on the Friday ones, yeah, instead of any of the animated Mario stuff, they just cut away to an unrelated episode of Zelda, the Mario Brothers, because they're just like, once a week. But apparently, I was going through episodes, and apparently those Friday ones, that's when they had, like, they had an episode with, I can't think of his name. The black guy from, Ghostbusters.
Winston,
yeah. So they had the actor that plays Winston pretending to be some kind of Ghostbuster.
Ernie Hudson.
Yeah, Ernie Hudson.
Okay.
But his name was, like, you know, Goo Buster, and he was like, everything was a parody.
Okay.
And they had Elvira on two episodes, and they had a bunch of, they had, like, Rowdy Roddy Piper and Sergeant Slaughter and all these other WWE people.
Weird.
And apparently there's one point where the guy that plays Mario comes back as his own wrestling persona.
Oh, jeez.
It's just so strange.
That's super meta.
Because these guys were, like, 46 when they made these. They're old as hell for a children's show. It's ridiculous.
And this is clearly a children's show, but at the same time, it has a laugh track.
The live action
stuff has a laugh track.
God, and Luigi just sounds like he's a pack-a-day smoker. it's like these very cute little cute animation. It's like, hey Mario, what are we doing? It's like, okay.
Oh man, it was super, super crazy. It was way out there. And
yeah.
I mean, you've got a live action show with a cartoon inside it, and the cartoon has a flashback, and there's Cold War stuff everywhere, but, like, we're all super buddy-buddy, but it's still the Cold War.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. That was just really strange.
Yeah, it's, like, I mean, especially given the current political climate with Russia stuff. I mean, for us to go in thinking we're going to be watching a cartoon about kooky Australia stuff and kangaroos
right.
And the Mushroom Kingdom, and then it's like, oh, that's Mikhail Gorbachev.
He even put, like, the birthmark on his head and everything. With,
yeah.
Like, I can't imagine that played well at the time outside of the United States.
I mean, they did that. I mean, Mikhail Gorbachev was in Animaniacs, too, in some form where he was, like,
getting
tormented by Yakko or something. But it's like, that was a much more prominent thing in the Spielberg cartoons. Like, I think Freakazoid would bug world leaders and stuff like that, too. And probably Pinky and the Brain had some form of that. But
that was all a little bit later, though, too.
Yeah, it was like 92, 93, and this was 89. So it wasn't that far off.
That far, yeah.
But it's weird that it would be pioneered in the Super Mario Brothers Super Show.
Oh, man.
The daily NES-based cartoon. Anyway,
the old sound effects really got me. Like, they're straight, they just ripped them off the game.
So weird, so very weird. But it's basically a companion piece to an NES game that had virtually no story. That they just extrapolated all this stuff. Like, this was the first real experience of these characters and kind of their personalities and their interactions. And this is, I mean, when we see Captain Toad, Treasure Tracker, and the characters in Mario Odyssey, all of these characters are in Mario Odyssey. This is what, like, Toad still sounds like this, and this is like where they first developed his voice. It's just crazy what impact this bonkers ass show has had on this $1 billion Mario franchise going forward.
It's a good point, but it's also, you know, maybe shows why they're, you know, you had Nintendo tried three times to do Mario stuff out, you know, in show or movie form. They had this show, they had the live-action Super Mario Brothers movie, and then they had a Super Mario World cartoon. And that's kind
there
of
was
it.
There was a Super Mario 3 cartoon as well.
Right,
and there was
right.
also Captain N.
What's that one?
You never seen Captain N?
No, I don't know that one.
Okay, so Captain N.
So I remember the Super Mario Brothers 3. I like
here,
that one
pause
a lot.
For a second. Let me find a description of. Okay, so we have Captain N, the Game Master. It was 89 to 91, and it was a Saturday morning cartoon. Also, Deke, it was on NBC. So it was the first part of it had. Where's the list of characters? God damn. Okay. Show premise. At the outset of the first episode, the hero of the series, Kevin Keen, a teenager from Northridge, Los Angeles, and his dog Duke were taken to another universe known as Video Land when they get sucked into a vortex called the Ultimate Warp Zone. So he's trying to save Video Land from Mother Brain. He has an NES zapper, and the team that he fights all of this with is Simon Belmont, Mega Man, and Kid Icarus.
Wow.
So it's a cartoon where a kid is teaming up with a big NES, and they fight. Their big enemies are the Eggplant Wizard, King Hippo, Dr. Wily, Donkey Kong, Dr. Light, Princess Zelda show up. But they would split the Captain N segments with more Super Mario cartoons. So the Super Mario cartoon kind of continued into Captain N, the Game Master.
Yeah, see, I missed that one somehow. Even though it was on the same time, I totally missed that one.
But yeah, we'll have to do another crossover episode where we watch fucking Captain N. Because that one's pretty crazy.
That's fantastic.
All right, so you ready to watch another episode of this craziness?
Sure, let's do it.
All right, so the second one I picked, and we'll have to figure out where it actually is on the Netflix run, is called Flatbush Koopa, where Koopa comes to Brooklyn and takes over Brooklyn.
All right.
So it's another one that's set outside of the Mushroom Kingdom. Unfortunately, we'll have a lot of time spent in Brooklyn.
That's fine.
But he changes to City Cooplin. Instead of Brooklyn. Or Cooplin? Yeah, Cooplin.
Okay.
All right. Well, we'll be right back.
Yo, you're in for a treat, so hang on to your seat. Get ready for adventure and remarkable feats. You'll meet the Koopas and Troopas, the princes and the others. Hanging with the plumbers, you'll be hooked on the brothers to the bridge.
And we are back. Good God. That show. What the hell is this show?
I gotta be honest. This episode, I think, was worse than the last one.
Yeah. I mean, at least there was some cohesive, like, Gorbachev was in both the animated and the live action, and there were kind of was a narrative thread. I mean, this one we start with the brothers just sleeping together
in their work clothes
on what appeared to be like a couch, snoring so heavily that it was pushing a vase of flowers back and forth. Hilarious.
Yeah, very, very cartoony thing.
Yeah, there's kind of like a Pee-wee's Playhouse aspect to the live-action part of it, where there's like stuff constantly going on, and like everything has kind of a weird magical nature and personality to it.
But Mario reminds me of Gallagher.
Yeah. So. He does have a greasiness and a kind of manic energy to him that is in line with Gallagher. But, there's this tube that's kind of bent coming off the back that looks like an exhaust port from, like, a dryer. Yeah. That's singing because it's their upstairs neighbor, Miss Gamblis, in apartment 5C, who's an aspiring opera singer. And it's just like... We're just so quickly just thrown into this odd conflict of a woman screaming at the Mario Brothers when they're trying to take a nap in their workplace. It's like,
well, what was really confusing is like they're in like this first floor / basement space.
Yeah,
and she's on the fourth floor.
She's in 5C.
5C. 5C. So she's on the fifth floor, and so I guess this. For some reason, those two apartments, their vents just straight connect to each other.
Well, also, the Mario Brothers has, every episode has an establishing shot where we see the building that has the big sign on the side that says Mario Brothers Plumbing. That's not a 5-story building. That's like
I didn't really pay attention.
That's like a 3-story building at best. It's like a walk-up in the middle of Brooklyn.
See, what I noticed about that is that they have, like, a matte painting for this. Like, they couldn't even get, like, a shot of some buildings.
Well, that's the crazy thing about all of this is that it's so cobbled together. Like, in the intro where you see Princess and Toad and Mario and Luigi on the flying carpet, it's clearly cut out and superimposed over another animated scene.
Yeah.
So it's like hastily cut out when it itself is a part, like... There's no reason it should look that bad. It looks like it's green screened animation.
Which, I mean, that's a strange concept.
Yeah. It's like somehow they shot this thing in front of a green screen and then recomposited it. I mean, just everything about it looks hastily done. They do the Mario over the end credits where they try and teach you a little Mario dance. The dance is, and here are all the steps to it, swing your arms from side to side, take a step.
It's walking.
Yeah, it's walking. It's power walking at most.
And then at the very end, he trips every time.
He does a little jump and then stumbles. It's like, okay, we're doing the Mario.
And like that's
drunkenly stumbling at the end of your career.
And it's the end credits. You're telling me you couldn't get a second take on your end credits? You're going to use it
There's no time.
The episode.
This is going to air in 30 seconds. We got to get this down.
Oh, man. I wish it had been like at least like a live show, like they filmed it live right somewhere, like a variety show. But no,
at least all the people in that audience would have some amazing stories of like probably the smell of booze wafting off of Mario and Luigi as they cash their Viacom checks.
It does have a laugh track, the live action portions.
It's very half-assed laugh track. Oh, yeah. They don't lean on it very much. God, that was so bizarre. So it's like, that's all the conflict we're introduced to, is that they're woken up by an opera singer. And as opposed to Mikhail Gorbachev coming to want them to make a pizza for him, which is like this full, like, 8-minute kind of arc with a narrative to it, this is just like, ooh, it's like, oh, Mario, this sucks. And it's like, boom. Right into the Mario cartoon. It's completely unrelated. There's no singing. And they just... And it's also like twice as long as the one in the last episode was, because they cut out the whole first act. They just need this punch out.
Like, we're going to skip the Cold War overtones this time.
God, that was so weird. So we get to the animated piece, and Mario and Luigi have returned to Brooklyn after they're all in a parade because they've defeated Koopa. And apparently he just lost track of Koopa. I don't know why they're throwing a parade, because he just left to go to Brooklyn ahead of them. So it's kind of like a not well-deserved parade.
No, not at all. Yay, we got him to move.
Yeah. Yay, we lost track of him for a few days, and he got away from us, so clearly we won?
I guess. Or maybe it was interesting, because you got to see women toads.
Yeah, girl toadstools.
Yeah, which is something that, like, hadn't really been, quote, confirmed until more recent games, but there it is in 1989. Yeah.
They had much more reasonable body shapes than Toad, who's just kind of a nugget with a big giant head. They had like actual torsos and legs.
It was a diverse group. There was one guy who was really tall and skinny. Yeah.
Meanwhile, now we just see that they're all the exact same shape. Some of them have long blonde hair.
Yep.
Making them female. Mm-hmm. Female Pac-Man, Miss Pac-Man approach to gender design, where you just throw a bow on it and it's female. but they decide they're no longer needed in the Mushroom Kingdom. and head back to Brooklyn, which has now been really more vandalized than taken over by Koopa. But, first off, the Statue of Liberty has been redesigned into Statue of Koopity, which I feel like they pass over pretty quickly, because that's probably his biggest accomplishment.
It totally is. He replaces one of the largest statues in the Western Hemisphere.
Yeah, with one of his face. I mean, they must have brought that with them from the Mushroom Kingdom or something. Like, how that would have fit in the pipes is beyond me.
So I pictured it more as like a Looney Tune-esque thing where they just took some chisels to it. There's dust.
Oh, yeah.
And then all of a sudden it's Koopa.
Boy, I was shocked to hear the Koopa's voices. Because, like, you'd think that they would, for a character like that, they'd be like, I'm Koopas or something, like, have some kind of weird thing. But they were just like, hi, we're Koopas, and we just have kind of like a Kermit the Frog voice.
They're so little, they look like Ninja Turtles who haven't grown up yet.
Yeah, they do look like baby Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, no. But yeah, most of Koopa's time is just spent changing the names.
Changing signs. He's just a vandal. I mean, he's like a Shepherd Fairy or something, like, but he thinks he's taking over the world.
It's barely vandalism, because he's not, like, spray painting. He's literally just swapping out signs on Coney Island for Koopa Island.
Yeah, and he has pre-prepared signs that are in the same, like, graphic design format. Yeah. I mean, it's basically like a prank. It's like what Nathan Fielder does on Nathan For You. It's, like, very, he must have gone to, like, a sign shop and dropped a couple hundred. I mean, this is a very expensive plan of his.
Yes.
But, I mean, his big goal is to change the name of everything to Koopaton. Instead of Brooklyn, which is a very labored pun.
Yes.
It's like learn from the Smurfs and kind of get your shit together a little bit better there, Koopa. But, yeah, and then the B part of his plot is to make everybody into bricks, which was odd.
Well, I think that's, of course, their way of not actually killing anybody.
Right.
Right.
Though this reminded me of something my brother told me in the 80s when I was far too young to know that he was... Well, and I guess maybe watching this is why I didn't think that he was kidding, but he pretty much said in the original Super Mario Brothers, every set of bricks is a toadstool person that Bowser has changed into bricks. So anytime you break a brick, you're killing a toadstool person in order to succeed at the game.
I've killed so many.
I know. I was like traumatized by that because it was like, oh God, the trade-offs of like getting to where the ivy plant thing is, you have to kill like six people.
That's so sad.
Yeah.
That's dark.
It's very dark.
That is really dark. Well, this
one. Oh no, I'm doing the thing that Danielle always does on this show and coming up with a creepypasta that makes the show extra dark.
Well, none of that happens in this one. Everybody gets turned, except
that cab driver. That cab driver, they get past pretty quick.
Yeah, I think
that
he's
cab
just
driver,
dead.
Which was just like, had a big stogie in his mouth and he's like, hey, oh, what are you doing there, Koopa? Bada bing. It's like, oh, Jesus.
Well, he's the first one turned into bricks, and so they turn his cab into bricks, and there's no person. So it just looks like he's dead.
Well, also, so he sticks his head out what appears to be the driver's window, but they also show him driving off to get the police, and the car is going the other way, and then it backs up, and he's poking his head out of the same window. So did he throw it in reverse, and he was going to reverse drive all the way to the cops? Or it's like real bizarre.
It's like, lazy animation.
Well, yeah, everything about it. Like, but there's a spelling error in a background sign because we see in the first episode that we watched Mike Burger Shop, and
not Mike's.
Yeah, just Mike Burger Shop. And then in this episode, we also see Mike Burger Shop, but in one of the shots, it's you just see Burger Shore SHOR instead of SHOP.
Which is pretty funny.
And then sometimes it's like outlined and sometimes it's solid lettering. It's very, very sloppy.
The laziest thing, though, I think, is the roller coaster scene. Where
right.
The background is like these two sections of roller coaster.
The looping cycles. The looping Flintstone style background that they're running and it's looping literally looks like three like graphite pencil strokes. It's like if someone said, okay, draw a background roller coaster and you have 2 seconds. It's like, and it's like, okay, now put that on a roller and loop it for like 5,000
times.
Yeah. But I mean, in probably, it felt like it's like the problem that I have with a lot of anime is that they recycle so hard because they make so many episodes of it so quickly, where it's like you see one scene and it's just a still image that someone pans over back and forth and it's just people going, oh. Yeah. Like, well, there's narration. It's like that where they took the same like 4 loop seconds of animation and just kept playing it. Like he was running, I mean, with all of the dynamic narrative arc of this animated piece, about, like, 80% of it was just Mario and Luigi running from this roller coaster car, which is, like, very low stakes relative to the things that Koopa's doing.
I mean, that scene takes longer than any roller coaster I've ever been on.
Yeah. Luigi asks if it's a one-way roller coaster, which is an odd thing to ask, and then he keeps saying, try the brakes, which is like, it's like, what? Have you ever been on a roller coaster? You apparently live right next to Coney Island. You'd think you'd get these things figured out.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, so strange.
And then, so Peach and Toad are now bored with the serenity that they have in the Mushroom Kingdom, because I guess they're just glutton for punishment.
Yeah, they're like, well, we're not getting kidnapped, and Mario's not doing any kind of antics, so we're just having a nice day. Screw this, let's go to Brooklyn and go hang out with Mario, see what he's getting up to.
And immediately steal a truck.
Yeah. So we cut from them jumping into the pipe to go to the normal world, back to Mario and Luigi running from this Koopa-controlled roller coaster car that's chasing them down. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, cut to Princess Peach and Toad are driving a full dump truck full of dirt that they've apparently acquired. And it's like, this is the best plan we had. We killed a guy and took his truck. We jumped on his head and he fell asleep. And then they just ram it into a Coney Island roller coaster.
Destroying the coaster,
doing millions in damage.
But they do save Mario and Luigi from the Koopas.
Yeah, though Koopas then all go to the Brooklyn Bridge and then start suicide bombing it with bomb-bombs. They're just like, woo, we want to die!
They're really excited about it.
And they can apparently fly, because they kind of had their arms out in like a Superman pose and then zoomed over to one of the supports.
Yeah, they can change direction.
But that's also a thing that we just pass over so quickly. They did serious structural damage to the Brooklyn Bridge. The suspension ties snapped. There's like 30% damage to the base of the bridge. It's like, that's, people are going to die.
Yeah, because that was their Koopa's big thing, was that they're going to blow the bridge and separate Brooklyn off from the rest of the world.
Which isn't how that works. There are more points of egress from Brooklyn.
That's like Gotham. It's just the...
Right, just the Gotham Bridge. Or no, that was in those movies, it was just to get to Arkham, the asylum was on that island.
Okay.
So the bridge was the only point in and out.
So Brooklyn is really Arkham Asylum then.
Pretty much, okay. Yeah.
I mean, that works. That tracks. Yes.
I think the big thing that they're betting on with this show is that not enough people knew any details about Brooklyn outside of what you would see in, like, old Bugs Bunny cartoons. Because, like, that was that, hey, it's the tree that grows in Brooklyn. Lol.
Right?
Yeah.
It's a tiny little...
Good one, Luigi.
It was like a Charlie Brown Christmas tree.
Right, yeah. But, I mean, at the end of this, we get really what becomes the origin story for why Mario doesn't go back and forth from the real world. Because he lures Koopa back from the real world to the Mushroom Kingdom and then blows up the path with a bomb. So it's like at the end of this, Mario now lives in the Mushroom Kingdom and is cut off from his mother, who he was, like, vocally excited to see. And he's just like, meh, I didn't think about that.
He's got his brother.
Yeah, he's got his brother.
And, the princess, of course.
Right. And so strange.
That's it.
So strange. Yeah, the end.
The end of the animated portion. We go back to live action where Luigi's working on a totally disconnected toilet.
Right. As if it's like an electronic shop where, like, your TV goes out and you bring it to, like, a TV repairman. That somebody clogged their toilet, so they disconnected their toilet and brought it to a plumber and said, could you fix this and then bring it back? It's like, that's not how that works.
And
he was going into the tank of the toilet where the clogs don't go.
But that, it was hard for me to focus on that because casually there is the gigantic Radigator.
Radigator, yeah.
In the background, this giant rat dragon.
What the hell was that? Yeah. It's like they're not looking at it. They're just like, and also there was like a wheelbarrow full of giant pieces of coal. Like they worked in the furnace of a train car in like the 1800s. It's like all kinds of spools of wire. That were bigger than they were. It's like, I don't know who the set dresser was, but it's like this big, like, nightmare. It's like a...
It was like, I think it was more of, hey, what are the other shows here not using? What can we throw on this set?
Yeah, it's like, maybe they shot it on the premise of, like, a prop warehouse.
Maybe.
It was just like, we're just going for it. And then those puppet legs in the window. So it's
so annoying.
So upsetting. Cause this is a, like, their door is on the street level, but this whole thing is basically underground.
Cause there's staircases. Cause
yeah, stairs go straight down. So there's the one little top window and it's white, but they had people walking by, but they used puppet legs instead of like just having an extra walk on a thing. They had like weird, very intricate. It almost reminded me of the Beetlejuice animated series we did earlier.
Oh, yeah.
Where everything is, you know, it represents a real person, but there's so many, like, gaps and everything. It's something upsetting.
They had,
about
like,
it.
Little sticks on the bottom. So I'm wondering if there just wasn't actually a ledge built there for someone to walk across. And they actually had someone on the ground, like, holding these giant sticks, making it look like someone's walking.
But that whole, like, I want to get, like, a 3D look at that entire environment. Because there's, like, tomato plants coming out of a dirt-filled bathtub next to, like, a weird puppet jail. There was, like, there's, like, a barred cage that there was, like, a puppet that looked like it had screaming on its face.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, and then there's, like, you know, a wheelbarrow full of football-sized chunks of just, like, coal, like, black coal. Then you have this giant grate on the wall that has a radiator coming out of it that they only say, oh, and the Radigator doesn't like the opera singing either.
Like, they're not worried it's going to eat them.
Yeah, it's our friend the Radigator, who had earmuffs on. Mm-hmm. Everyone had earmuffs, which is supposed to be sound protection against this opera singer.
But they're all speaking normal volume and can hear themselves. And then, of course, Mario and Luigi share a sofa bed together in their work clothes.
Right, yeah. So. They must smell awful.
Which is just adorable
that
they do that.
But then this episode of the animated one also disconnects the live action from the animated, because now we know the live action are in Brooklyn and have never been to the Mushroom Kingdom, and then the animated ones can go to and from Brooklyn, but have now cut themselves off from it. So it's like, which are the real Mario? Are these two men insane? It's just complete madness?
That's a good question. I don't know.
It is. There's really no way to know because they are now both dead.
Right, yeah.
Because this was almost 30 years ago and they were old as hell then. They were in their late 40s, early 50s. And, yeah, R.I.P. Lou Albano and whoever played Luigi.
Weird show. I gotta be honest, this is not one I think I will continue to watch.
But Luigi straight up said he was going to murder a woman.
He did the live action Luigi wants to kill the opera singer.
And it was so offhanded too. He's just like, I'm going to kill this woman, Mario. Like, I'm going to off this bitch.
Like, I laughed, but you know, I'm not sure.
I'm going to hit her with a wrench until she stops breathing. It's like, all right, Luigi, calm down.
Yeah, he's got some anger issues. Yeah. So.
It's like, there's a Radigator right there. He can't speak.
Through the feeder to the Radigator.
Oh, God. That's how they dispose of bodies.
That's how they do it.
Yeah, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was weird. This is a weird one. Like so far in this, I've picked a lot of cartoons that were, like, old faves from the 90s. And then this one is like, I remember this, but I don't remember liking it. And now I know why.
Yeah, that's...
Because Mikhail Gorbachev ate borscht on a pizza and Luigi wants to murder an opera singer. That's Mario
good,
Brothers.
Good song. Mario Brothers.
Remember that part in Mario Brothers where Mikhail Gorbachev wants a pizza? That's everybody's
classic.
Favorite. Yeah. That should have come up in New Donk City.
Yes.
Like, Gorbachev is just there eating a pizza on a park bench, and then you're like, what does that mean?
They should have a sign like pizza, now with borscht.
Yeah, now with caviar. Caviar and sour cream. Wow. Well, we're at the 1 hour mark. Let's start talking about cereal. What'd you think?
So I think that it was essentially Lucky Charms.
Yeah, it's basically Lucky Charms, which we haven't done on the show yet. It was fine.
Yeah, it was fine.
Yeah. The marshmallows, so there was clearly question mark block. There was clearly what looked like a fire flower petal. But
I could not make out what those were.
I mean, there were
marshmallows.
There was a superstar and a pow block. And then the third one looked like kind of like a teardrop that was red, but then had like a white thing inside.
So it was probably fireball.
Or his hat. That might have been his hat.
Maybe.
Yeah. Or fireball. Yeah, that too.
It was fine. Like the marshmallows, I thought were good. They were a nice sweet to add to the
just grain. Yeah.
Right. Cereal. Just unflavored grain cereal, essentially. Like, it was fine.
Yeah. I mean, they're not selling it for the cereal. They're selling it for the amiibo. And for $3 for an amiibo, I mean, it's the cheapest amiibo you're going to get.
It is. And so
it's not going to store any data if you try to use it for anything other than Mario Odyssey. But
right. Well, and you pointed out that it's like this disc, and like it's barely a disc. It's like a sticker on the inside of the box. Like they went as cheap as they could on that. And I mean, I understand why. It's the free toy and the cereal, right?
It's interesting though. In an era where cereals don't have toys in the bottom of the box anymore, for them to make a digital toy.
Yeah.
It is something you can literally play with by interacting your box with your video game system. Like, that was a very odd moment because I was like, okay, well, I'll activate this amiibo. And it says, like, touch amiibo to the joystick like you do on the Switch. And I was like, okay. And I'm just rubbing a cereal box on a game console waiting for something to happen. I was like, what is the future? What is this timeline?
Look, Nintendo, like Nintendo Labo, like we talked about earlier, the best Nintendo is weird Nintendo.
Yeah.
They do the weirdest shit, and that's when they're the best.
There's no weirder Nintendo than the Super Mario Brothers Super Show, so I guess it makes sense.
I mean, really, I think we found a nice trifecta. You know, we have the cereal box amiibo, we've got the Super Mario Brothers cartoon and Nintendo Labo. It doesn't get much weirder.
And the Zelda cartoon, little bonus.
Yeah, that one, so we have to see that again. That catchphrase.
Well, excuse me, princess! So good.
Though that show does look better than the Mario show, I will say.
Well,
that.
And the absurdism of just seeing the clips out of context. Because, like, as weird as all this Mario shit was that we saw, we were like, and now let's watch some clips of Zelda, and Link is a ghost for no reason. And
Zelda's getting, like, she's put in a headlock by a skeleton that gets scared about the...
Just that was a real rapey headlock, too. That was, yikes.
It's also like Link is so sarcastic.
Yeah, he's like, "Well, maybe if I wasn't a ghost," it's like kind of sounds like Michelangelo.
And Zelda the whole time's like, "Come on, like this is serious. Let's get your head in the game, Link." Like,
I kind of envision Shigeru Miyamoto getting like a screener of these two things and seeing what Link is like and seeing what Mario is like, and then him just going like, "They will never speak again." Like, this is my edict as the owner of these two properties. Shigeru Miyamoto wills it. They will never say another word as long as these characters live.
I have a feeling that he was unhappy with these shows. I do. I have that hunch.
He has a creator credit in the credits, too.
Like, I'm sure he does.
Yeah, his name's on all this stuff.
You know, they're his characters, and I can't imagine that he was happy with the outcome.
But, I mean, they kept making this stuff. That's the crazy thing, because, I mean...
There's 50-some episodes of this Mario show.
Yeah, it's like 64, I think.
Jeez.
But, I mean, they didn't get a second season. They powered through them for 13 weeks straight and just hammered one after another. It's like, all right, well, I wonder if... I mean, clearly they didn't have to run anything by Nintendo. This probably set so many of Nintendo's policies on, like, IP control and stuff like that, because they're like... Why is Elvira talking to Mario?
Well, because I'm sure that's how the conversation was. Like, yeah, sure, go ahead, knock yourselves out, guys. No, we need a set of rules.
Yeah. So, like, we have to invent the DCMA takedown so that we can forbid this from ever happening again.
I mean, maybe this is why Nintendo is so touchy about that kind of thing, because they were some of the first to really try it, and it didn't go well.
Went pretty well for Sega when they did all the various Sonic cartoons.
Yeah.
Because there were, what, like 18 Sonic cartoons?
Tons of them.
The first one with Urkel and the real super dark one. That's the one I need to watch again. Where it's like everything is post-apocalyptic and dirty and cyberpunk.
Sega was always, I mean, they always tried weird stuff. You know, they had their own TV channel that was all video games, which was really weird to use. And they tried some really sketchy, like, really out there stuff. The Dreamcast was a real ahead of its time thing and a total flop.
God, Seaman was one of the best games ever made.
God. Oh, man. Well, yeah, that was it. That was Mario.
Yeah.
So
that's our first crossover.
Woo! So, yeah, Gamer Heroes and the Saturday morning.
Oh, wait, we didn't give Spoon Count for us here. I'd say 5.
I was going to give it 5 as well.
Yeah. It's right down the middle of the road. I have no, like, I have another box at home. I have no interest. I'm just, like, see if it still sells on eBay. Because I tried the Amiibo. The Amiibo didn't really do that much. It was $3, so I don't feel like I've lost anything. Like, I got a podcast episode out of it, so screw it.
I tried a new cereal, right?
Yeah. Or was it just reformulated?
I mean, Lucky that's Charms. The thing. Like, I don't really
Lucky
care
Charms
for
Kellogg's?
Lucky Charms.
Probably. Everything's Kellogg's, except for weird stuff.
I never really liked Lucky Charms. I always found them kind of bland, and so this just reinforced my old opinion of Lucky Charms.
That's what Lucky Charms is like. So. They're fine. It's not offensive.
No, of course not. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you can't be mad at a bowl of Lucky Charms. Yeah, it's fine.
It's a real workaday cereal. It just gets the job done.
It does.
Yeah.
I mean, it filled me up, right? Like, I didn't, you know, it didn't get soggy really quick.
Yeah.
Where, like, you know, like, the Chex cereals, the Life cereals, stuff, those get soggy really quick. So, you know, it didn't have any of the bad stuff. It just didn't really have any of the good stuff.
Yeah, it was just fine. Had a maze on the back.
It did.
That's fun.
There were actually kind of like two mazes.
So the second maze was, what's Yoshi going to eat? And then you had to follow it. So the first one is just a single line, and that goes all the way around, and then that hits like a Goomba. And then there's three other ones, and then they just have like little swoops.
Yeah.
And all start over there. So it's like, okay, well, not really having any challenge here. And it's like, okay, and we got it. Okay.
And there are some questions sprinkled all over the back, and there doesn't seem to be an answer key anywhere, so if you don't know, I guess you have to Google it.
Yeah.
Right? Which is interesting.
Mario's Jumpman.
One of them was like a personality trait question, which I thought was kind of subjective.
Yeah. Mario's an INFP, everybody knows that. I don't even know what that is.
Oh, man.
Well, that was a real weird one, but how do you guys normally end Gamer Heroes?
So we just kind of plug our stuff. You know, I'm the Star Trek dude on Twitter and Facebook. You, of course,
Zen Munkin on Twitter and just Twitter.
Just Twitter.
We both host Red Shirts and Runabouts,
which is our Star Trek show every Thursday.
Yeah, I do the Saturday Morning Tooncast, which this will be released as one of them.
On Saturday.
I also do The Gauntlet with Ray. Whenever that comes out.
That's on Sundays.
Sundays, okay.
It's on Sundays. That's our limited run MCU rewatch.
Yeah.
So Captain America the First Avenger just came out earlier this week. And then, of course, this coming week will be Marvel's Avengers, which is the first Avengers movie.
Yeah.
And then I'm on Gamer Heroes, which this is cross-streaming on. That comes out every Tuesday. I'm also on Screen Heroes, which is our movie and TV podcast that records live every Tuesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern at twitch.tv/heroes podcast, and episodes come out on Wednesdays.
We both guested on Earth 2.
Right. Welcome to Earth 2 is our new improv narrative fictional comedy show on Fridays. So we're very busy doing different random things.
Yeah.
You can find all of our stuff at Heroes Podcasts on Twitter and Facebook, heroespodcasts.com for all of the Heroes Podcast Network stuff.
Well, that's it for this week from both Gamer Heroes and the Saturday Morning Tooncast. You want to go grab a slice of borscht pizza?
Borscht pizza sounds delicious, as long as it has caviar.
Well, yeah, and sour cream.
Of course.
We will see you next week.
All right, well, I hope you guys enjoyed that special episode of Gamer Heroes with the Saturday Morning Tooncast. Don't forget that John and I will be back next week with a special announcement about a brand new format that we'll be bringing in 2018 here, starting in February. Catch you next time.